ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతే శాంతే శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ మునికాండం చాప్టర్ 4 సెక్షన్ 3 మంత్ర 37. అధ్యతారాజానం ఆయంతం ఉగ్రాప్రత్యేన సహ సూతగ్రామణ్యః అన్నైః పానైః ఆవసతైః ప్రతికల్పంతే ఆయమాయాతి అయమాయాతి అయమాగచ్చతి ఏవం హ ఏవం విధం సర్వాణి భూతాని ప్రతికల్పంతే ఇదం బ్రహ్మ ఆయాతి ఇదమాగచ్చతీతి. సంసార మరణ వర్ణనం కంటిన్యూస్ వాట్ వీ వర్ సీయింగ్ యెస్టర్డే. సో ది ఉపనిషత్ కంపేర్స్ ద జీవాత్మ టు ఎ కింగ్. సో వెన్ ఎ కింగ్ లీవ్స్ ఎ పర్టిక్యులర్ సిటీ ఇన్ హిస్ కింగ్డమ్ అండ్ గోస్ టు అనదర్ సిటీ ఇన్ హిస్ కింగ్డమ్, there are many people in the city to see him off. And not only that, for sending off there are people, at the same time at the other place many people will wait to receive him also with all malas, garlands and all that. Here the reception is narrated in this mantra, the send off is given in the next mantra. So actually the order should be reversed, but this is how Upanishad gives. Tad yatha rajanam ayantam. When a king arrives in a place, prati kalpante, many people wait there to welcome him. And what type of people? Ugraha pratyena saha sutagramanyaha. So these are all people belonging to the secondary caste. Actually, the four varnas are brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. They are the main varnas. But people, children born between intervarnas, for example, a kshatriya father and a shudra mother, that they are called ugras. And a kshatriya father and a brahmana mother, they are called sutas. But because of the intermarriage, whosoever is born, they are called secondary varnas. So called pratiloma anuloma varnaha. So in those secondary castes, one type is known as ugraha. For them also duties are given, and the ugra's duty is prati yena saha. The duties of ugra, it is giving punishment for crime. So they are people who will give punishment to them. Yenas means papa karma, prati yenas means punishment for papa karmas. Therefore, for people who are offenders. And prati yena saha, those who give punishment to the offenders, they are called ugraha. And they assemble there to receive him. Those people also, they are assembled to receive the Raja. And Sutaha means another secondary caste, as I told. And they take apart jobs. They are all drivers, chauffeurs, chariots, sarathis. So the sarathi post goes to them. That is why Karna was brought up by a Suta, a chariot driver. A separate caste it is. And Gramanyaha means the village heads. So, gramam nayati iti gramanihi. In short, various people, they come. With what? Annaihi panaihi. They bring annam, panam, all that things to eat, snacks, drink. All that thing they bring and offer. And also avasataihi. They also furnish guest houses, restrooms for them to provide to the king. And also the people accompanying the king. Pratikalpante. They all wait to receive the king. And how do they wait? With lot of expectations. I am ayati, I am agachati, here he comes. These are all within quotation. So with all that expectation. In the same way, evam ha, evam vidam. The samsari jiva also enters the womb of a mother and all the other people are waiting for the delivery of the baby. Here samsari is the raja. The baby in the womb is the king. He has to quit the previous loka and has entered the womb of the mother. He is about to come out. And all the people, they all plan to receive the baby. One sub-commentator, he writes, they even buy cows for milk for the baby. Yem, Dola, they buy the cradle. Child is not born yet, actually. So this is like, you know, people are planning even to get admission, you know, preschools, LKG, UKG, all that admissions in India. Because before the child is born, admission is a big problem. So, evam vidham samsarinam sarvani bhutani pratikalpante. The mother, father, brothers, neighbors, grandparents, they are all waiting. And Shankaracharya adds, including sthana devatas are also waiting. They are waiting to bless the baby as it comes. For example, Surya Devata gives light to the sun. Similarly, Vayu to bless the child, Indra to bless the child, the hands and all that, to be strong. So they are all waiting. And how do they wait? Idam Brahma Ayati, Idam Agachati. Here he comes. Who is coming? See the name the Upanishad gives to the to be born baby. Idam Brahma Ayati. Because the child is called Brahma is coming. Because of ignorance, it is Jivatma. But really speaking, that Paramatma alone comes in the form of the baby, Jivatma. This is the reception. And how do they send him off? That is given in the next shloka. We will read. Tadhyatara janam priyasantam ugra pratyena saha sutagramanyaha abhisamayanti evameva imam atmanam antakale sarve pranaha abhisamayanti yatraitad udvochvasi bhavati iti trithiyam brahmana. This concludes the third Brahmanam, Swayamjyoti Brahmanam. Now is the send-off. So at the time of Maranam, the first two lines are very similar to the previous shloka. So when the king goes to another place, the Ugraha, Sutaha, Gramanyaha, all these people join to give him a warm send-off. May even travel along with him, perhaps. So Abhi Samayanti, they assemble together. Evam evam ayam atmanam antakale sarve prana abhisamayanti. All sense organs withdraw from the body. That is why the dying person cannot see clearly, cannot hear clearly, cannot do anything. Because all the organs have ditched the physical body. And they have joined the jivatma to travel along with him. Here prana means the indriyani also includes all the indriyas, including abhisamayanti, assembled together. And of course, there are relatives also. Some people assembled to send off. So we saw in Chandogya, Janati Mam, do you recognize me? People ask him standing around. Do you recognize? I think he is now recognizing me. He now knows. Do you know I have who has come? I am your distant nephew. What all they say, all kinds of relations. This guy is dying. So do you recognize me? Recognize me. They are asking. So the sense organs assembled to go along with the jiva. And how do we know that this time has come? Urdvam Uchvashi Bhavati. He begins to gasp for breath and struggle for life. And why do we talk about all these? We all know all these. These are all happening. But Shankaracharya says, only when I explain the plight in detail, you will get vairagyam for punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. This cycle. Only then a person will work for moksha, for liberation. With this, the third Brahmanam, the Swayamjyoti Brahmanam of the fourth chapter is over. Samsara will continue in the next Brahmanam, as I told in the last class, up to Mantra 6. Now we will see a brief summary of the third Brahmanam before we go to the fourth. The third Brahmanam, this is called Jyotihi or Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam. It's a very important Brahmanam of the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Here, the teaching is in the form of Janaka Yajnavalkya Samvadaha, a dialogue between Janaka, the student, and Yajnavalkya, the teacher. Janaka asks Yajnavalkya about Atma Jyotihi, the self-effulgent self, Atma. And as an answer to Janaka's question, the entire Brahmanam consisting of 38 shlokas, the entire Brahmanam is given. So here, in the first six mantras, Yajnavalkya establishes logically Atma Jyotihi through an analysis of dream, Swapnavastha. So the Anumana Vakyam used here is what? Swapna Deha Vyavaharaha Deha Vyatiriktaha Jyotihi Sadhyaha. So Deha Vyavaharatvata Jagra Deha Vyavaharavata. That is the Anumana Vakyam. This is the anumana. The idea is what? Someone other than the body illumines all the body functions. And that is the logic. Something other than the body illumines all the body functions. And the difference is what? An external illuminator illumines the functions of the waker's body, whereas an internal illuminator illumines the functions of the dreamer's body. But in both the cases, what is common? The illuminator is other than the body. In the waking stage, the illuminator is outside, other than the body. In the dream state, the illuminator is inside, other than the body. And therefore, swapna jyotihi abhautikaha atindriyatvat. The dream illuminator, swapna jyotihi, is not a material illuminator, abhautikaha. But it is a spiritual illuminator because it is not available for sense organs, atindriyatvat. Thus, two anumanams are used here, and the teacher establishes 2 points. What are the 2 points? There is an illuminator other than the body. And number 2, the illuminator is non-material in nature. And this is the discussion from mantra 1 to 6. Deha vyatiriktaha atma jyotihi. And from mantra 7 up to mantra 19, we have an elaborate discussion on the nature of the Atma Jyotihi by analyzing Swapna once again, through dream analysis. So through this analysis, Yajnavalkya conveyed 3 points. Atma Jyotihi Deha Vilakshanam. The consciousness is distinct from the body and mind. This is important from scientific angle. As far as science is concerned, they are not very sure about the nature of consciousness. Every one of us knows about consciousness because we are all conscious. Nature of consciousness is the biggest mystery in science. Its endless theories are propounded. All of them consider that consciousness is a part of matter or property of matter, but this portion of Vedanta is very relevant. And in this, they point out that consciousness is neither matter, nor is it part of matter, nor is it property of matter. We have already seen all those things on several occasions. And it is an independent substance of its own, not an adjective of matter, but it is a substance. And later we point out that matter is an adjective of consciousness. In fact, matter depends upon consciousness, and consciousness is an independent entity. Thus, scientifically also, these portions are very relevant. So, point number 1 is what? Deha vilakshanam atma jyotihi. Body, atma is different from the body. And the second point conveyed is karma rahitatvam. Consciousness is not associated with any karma, na punyam, na papam, na saukyam, na dukkam, na mantro, na tirtho, na veda, na yajna. Aham bojanam naiva bojyam na bhokta, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. Therefore, neither punya karma nor papa karma sambandha is there. So, sarva karma sambandha rahitatvam. And all the corollaries also we have to derive from this. If karmas are not there, there is no question of sukham, dukkham, all those things are not there. There is no question of punarjanma. All these things will be absent. So the point number 2 is what? Karma rahitatvam. And the third point conveyed is kama rahitatvam, free from all desires. So nishkamatvam or akamatvam. These are the 3 points. What are the 3 points now? Atma is different from body. Atma is free from karma. Atma is free from kama. Finally, the section concludes with 2 well-known examples. One is Mahamatsya Drishtanta, a huge fish example. And the second one is a bird example, Shena or Pakshi Drishtanta. And these 2 examples convey what? The fish moves through the middle of the river and also close to both the banks of the river. For some time it moves near the right side bank, sometimes it moves to the left side bank, sometimes in the middle, but wherever it moves, it is not affected whatever happens on the banks of the river. It is untainted by or unconnected with whatever happens on the banks of the river. Similarly, the Jivatma also moves through 2 banks, the Jagradavastha bank and the Swapnavastha bank. and sometimes it moves in the middle of the river also, known as Sushupti Avastha. But wherever it moves, the most important thing is that it is not affected by whatever happens in Jagrat Avastha, not affected by whatever happens in Swapna Avastha. That's what we already saw in Kaivalya. I already told that this quotation. Puratraye kridati yascha jivaha tatastu jatam sakalam vichitram adharam anandam akanda bhotam yasmin layam yati puratrayancha. Puratraye kridati, atma sports, plays as it were, in the three cities of Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha and Sushupti Avastha, but not affected by anything. This is Mahamatsya Drishtanta, the big fish example. And the second example is the bird moves about in the sky from morning till evening. It does lots of things, eating lots of things. In the evening, the bird is tired because of its actions and various experiences, and it quietly comes back to rest in its nest. In the same way, the Jiva bird also moves about in Jagrat Avastha and Swapna Avastha fields, doing lot of things, and more than that, experiencing lot of things also. Sukha, dukkha, misra anubhavaha. All that. After moving about in Jagrat Avastha and Swapna Avastha, the Jiva bird is tired, just as many people say that I am tired of life itself. So when God is going to take me, a lot of people say, expressing that, I wish to die. They are not aware of the fact that death would not end or stop their journey. Then why they ask for death? It is because they are tired. When Jiva is tired of Jagrat and Swapna experiences, what does the Jiva do? It folds its wings. That is the withdrawal of all sense organs. They are the wings as it were in courts, to move in the world of Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. They fold their wings and they go to their own nest. That is called Prajnaha. And Sukham Aham Aswaptam Nakinjit Avedisham. After a comfortable sleep, they get up again and start the work again. Thus, two examples reveal what? Atma is unaffected by whatever happens around. And this is from Mantra 7 to Mantra 19, as I mentioned. And in Mantra 20, Yajnavalkya gives Vidya Avidya Phalam, the consequences of ignorance and the consequences of knowledge. So these two are given by taking Swapna and Sushupti as examples. In the Swapna example, that is for ignorance or avidya, and Sushupti example is for knowledge. And why do we take Swapna example for ignorance? Because during Swapna, the dream, there is false duality. Mithya Dvaitam is there. Because of ignorance, projection. And because of Mithya Dvaitam, there are problems in dreams. The elephant is chasing, if you remember that example, that shloka, elephant chases him, thieves are chasing him in the example, gananti eva, jananti eva, vichayati eva, all that, we saw that example yesterday. So Sushupti is taken as an example for vidya, knowledge. And because in Sushupti there is advaitam, or the Upanishad uses a better word instead of advaitam, it is sarvatma bhavaha. I am everything. Nothing is away from me. This is the essence of Mantra 20. So, Vidya, Avidya, Phalam. And from Mantra 21 to 34, Atma Swarupam is revealed through analysis of Sushupti. Here, sleep is equal to moksha itself. No doubt, in sleep there is no actual moksha. If sleep is actually moksha, we need not gain knowledge at all. Here, sleep is equated to moksha because in sleep, samsara is potentially there. It is dormant. Sukha, dukkha, anubhavas are dormant. So samsara, phalam is passive. Therefore, it is not experienced in deep sleep. In moksha, samsara is not even potentially there. Hence, experientially, sleep and moksha are same, but technically they are different, because of the difference I just mentioned. Therefore, the Upanishad takes sleep itself as a moksha swarupam. And this is elaborately discussed from Mantra 21 to 34. So here we can extend many ideas. In sleep, there is no dvaitam, no kama, no krodha, no ragadvesha, no karma, and no karma phalam also. In moksha also, all these are not there. So no limitations, no ragadveshas, no karma, no karma phalam. Therefore, they are as good as one and the same, moksha and sleep. Then from mantras 34 to 38, the nature of Atma in the form of Jiva is discussed. To understand this, we have to go back to the idea given in mantra 7, where one Atma itself is presented as Paramatma and Jivatma. The consciousness in its original form, it is Paramatma, and when available as Chidabhasa in the mind, the reflected consciousness, in the relative or Vyavaharika plane, the very Paramatma itself is called Jiva. So, Chitrupena Paramatma, Chidabhasa Rupena Jivatma. Bimba Rupena Paramatma, Pratibimba Rupena Jivatma. And in the seventh mantra, Paramarthika Rupena Paramatma and Vyavaharika Rupena Jivatma. All different words to explain the same thing. So the word Purushaha was used for Paramatma and Vijnanamayaha was used for Jivatma in that shloka. And as Paramatma, one does not travel at all, but as Jivatma, one travels. And in the previous mantras, Paramatma Swarupam was pointed out, and now from mantra 35 to 38, the very same Paramatma becoming a samsari in the form of Jivatma is pointed out. Thus, as long as I claim I am Paramatma, I am a samsari. But the moment I come down to Chidabhasa as Jivatma level, I will become a samsari. When the mind travels from one body to another, the Chidabhasa also will have to travel. As Chidabhasa, I will be samsari. Jivatma, samsara is discussed here. And why does Yajnavalkya discuss samsara? Shankaracharya says, samsara is discussed to gain vairagyam. Once we know we travel from one body to another constantly, attachment to this body will vanish. We will know it is a temporary, miserable residence. By the time you prepare the body very well, we are forced to quit. And then again prepare in the next janma. And by the time we are prepared, we again pack up. Like the people having transferable jobs. Like that, the transference is samsara, and in that one should get vairagyam. For that purpose, samsara varnanam, description of samsara is said here. To convey this, three examples were given. One is the example of a cart, shakata, and second one is the ripening fruit. Third one is raja drishtanta, example of rajas. So what is shakata drishtanta? The cart example, when a person changes his house, he puts all the materials on a cart and then the cart moves. These are all old days. They have built carts and all kinds of things from one house to another. Since the cart is overloaded, it makes noise when it begins to move. The moment it starts, it makes all kinds of noise. Of course, the cart man, who is the cart man? He is Ishwara, the driver of the cart. In the same way, Jivatma also quits the body fully loaded with karma, punya papa, sanchita karmas, all that. And Jivatma moves, making lot of sounds at the time of death, groaning, moaning, crying. Different types of sounds come out of different parts of the organs. And the body and the Jiva quits. It is described only to gain vairagya. So we always think, death is for someone else. Everybody thinks death is for someone else. People daily see that everybody else is dying, but their behavior shows that they never think of this fact, that one day they are going to join the majority too. Hence, the Upanishad reminds of the inevitability of death. Just as a cart man, the Ishvara, directs the Jiva's journey, and that is given the example one. And the second example is the fruit example. It remains in the tree, fruit remains in the tree until it ripens. And then the fruit has to fall and leave the tree. Similarly, the Jiva fruit is clinging on to the physical body. Neither the fruit can hold on to the tree, nor the tree can hold on to the fruit forever. Similarly, the Jiva fruit clings on to the physical body tree now. It will cling to the body until it is ready for the next journey. And once the right time comes, the Jiva fruit moves. And here it gets separated from the physical body tree. This is the second example for samsara transmigration. And the third example is the Raja Drishtanta. When a king leaves one place, he never leaves all alone. There will be a big group of people to see him off, and also people will join him in his journey. Similarly, when the Jivatma leaves the body, the Pancha Pranas, the ministers, they join him. The Jnanendriyas, the attendants, they join him. Karmendriyani, the service people, they join him. They all assemble with no sense organs available in respective Golakams to perform their duty. It's a dead body. All the sense organs have left from the respective sides. The Chakshurindriyam left the Chakshuhu eyes. Shrotrendriyam left the ears. So eyes are open, perception does not take place. Ears are open, hearing doesn't take place. Mouth is open, no munching of anything takes place. All sense organs have joined the king to go with him to another place. When the king goes to the other place, there are also people wait to receive him, give him proper accommodation, food, shelter, all that. Similarly, when the Jivatma has to travel, another body is ready. The parents of the future baby are also ready, discussing time of arrival, when the child will be born. All preparations are there for welcoming the Jiva king. Shankaracharya adds, even devatas wait there to bless the arrival of the child. They bless the organs to function. Just as various people wait when the king arrives in a new place, this is another example for transmigration. Thus, through these three examples, samsara varnanam is done. And more samsara varnanam is going to come in the next brahmanam also, up to the sixth mantra of the next brahmanam. So 4.3.35 mantra of this section up to the 4.4.6 of the next brahmanam is samsara varnanam. And in this crucial moment, the third brahmanam is concluded. This is the essence of the third brahmanam. Now, before we go to the next brahmanam, I will give some important mantras which are very much worth noting. The mantra 4.3.6 that explains Atmana eva ayam jyotisha aste. Atma is the light with the help of which all transactions go on. It's a very important statement. Atmana eva ayam jyotisha aste. And in the seventh mantra, Vijnanamayaha praneshu hridyantar jyotihi purushaha. Is a very important statement where the definition of Atma is given. Not only Atma's original nature is given, the Vyavahara aspect, the Jivatma, that Swarupam is also given in this mantra. This is Pramanam for Chirabhasa, the reflected consciousness. And then comes the most important statement, Dhyayati Iva, Lelayati Iva, Atma knows as it were. Iva means as it were in quotes. Atma does as it were. Most important part is as it were, Iva. And Shankaracharya says, Atma is really not a knower or doer, and it is apramata, akartha. And Acharya very often quotes this mantra. And the ninth mantra, the last line is most important, Atrayam Purushaha Swayam Jyotihi Bhavati. Because of this statement alone, this section, this Brahmanam is called Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam. Atrayam Purushaha Swayam Jyotir Bhavati. And why is this statement important? This mantra alone points out that Atma is self-effulgent and self-evident. Therefore, we need not do anything to know the self. Shankaracharya repeatedly states, never work for self-knowledge. You can work for any other knowledge. And for self-knowledge, you need not work at all because self-knowledge is self-evident. Then what are we working for? Here we are not working for self-knowledge. We are all working for the removal of our false ideas regarding self. I am here is a false idea. Why? Here that is the problem. I am young, I am old, I am this, that. They are all false ideas. Then what we should say really? Say, I am, and stop. I am alone, that alone, I am alone is the knowledge. And adding anything else is false idea. So, aim of Vedanta is what? Is removal of all the predicative adjectives. And the 10th mantra is important. There also, the last line is often quoted. Sahi Karta. Atma is the creator of everything. Karta means Ishvara. And the 15th mantra is also very important. Most important, Asangohi Ayam Purushaha. Very important statement. In fact, the entire Advaitam is established in this statement. Actually, Acharya has written a particular composition called Brahmajnanavali. I am going to recite it at the end of this Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, after summarizing this. Asangohi Ayam Purushaha. Even to negate Visishtadvaitam, the Shruti quotation used this Asangaha, Ayam Purushaha. Visishtadvaitam says, Atma is qualified or attributed self. We say it is not. And Atma being Asangaha, Atma cannot have any qualification. Asangaha. Therefore, Visishta cannot be said, and it is Nirvisesha Advaita alone is correct. It is repeated in the next mantra, mantra 16. And also mantra 18 is also important for the fish example. Mantra 19 is important for the bird example, and mantra 22 also is important, that the real self is neither father, nor mother, nor brother, nor sister, nor husband, wife, spouse. They are all temporary roles we play in Jagradavastha and Swapnavastha. And really speaking, we have nothing to do with them. And at the end of the Upanishad says, Atma is free from Punya Papa. Ananvagatam punyena, ananvagatam papena. So then mantra 23 is also another very important mantra in which two types of knowledge or perceptions are introduced. One is called Savikara Drishti, another is called Nirvikara Drishti. And Savikara Drashta and Nirvikara Drashta, they are all discussed here. In fact, the same point is made in Acharya's another great work called Upadesha Sahasri. Tattvam Asi Prakatanam. So it is a brilliant chapter written by Acharya, and it is a very big chapter. The whole chapter is based on this particular mantra only. And Atma has got changing and non-changing perceptions. Changing perception is in Jagradavastha and Swapnavastha as Chidabhasa. And non-changing perception is in Sushupti Avastha, in sleep, as Chit. So many following mantras are similar to this mantras. And mantra 31 is important and conveys duality is apparent. Dvaita mithyatvam. Mithyatvam of dvaita is based on Upanishad. That is clarified here. There is a misconception that Shankaracharya says world is unreal. He says, I have not said world is unreal, but I teach only what is said in the Upanishad. Unreality of world is very much there in the Upanishad. And this mantra is one example. There is transaction in duality, and there is no transaction in non-duality. And the next mantra, mantra 32, is also important. Salila eko drashta advaito bhavati. It's a very important sentence. Atma is non-dual according to Visishtadvaitis. Atmas are many. There is one separate Paramatma. We say many Atmas are not there. We say Ekaha Drashta Advaitaha. Yeshosyam Parama Anandaha. So, Yetasyayvam Anandasyam Anyani Bhutani Matram Upajivanti. It is said here that Atma is Ananda Surupam, and it discussed very elaborately. And the idea conveyed is what? There is only one Ananda, and there is no such thing called Vishayananda, sense pleasure. Experiential pleasure is a misnama, sense pleasures. It is. So once Atmananda manifests itself through various experiences, which we falsely call as sense pleasures, the idea is best explained in this mantra. And finally, in mantra 33, that's also important. Here we get Ananda Mimamsa parallel to Taittiriya Upanishad that we saw yesterday. We have got so many mantras worth remembering in this Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam. And being Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, I would like to recite now, as I told, the Brahmajnanavali Mala of Acharya. As I told, Asangohi is the most important word, and he starts this mantra itself in this sloka with Asangoham. It may take about 4-5 minutes to recite. I will do that. Asangoham, asangoham, asangoham punah punaha, sachidananda rupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, nityashuddha vimuktoham, nirakarohamavyayaha, bhumanandaswarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, nityoham niravadyoham, nirakarohamachyutaha, paramanandarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, shuddhachaitanyarupoham, atmaramohamevacha, akhandanandarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, pratyakchaitanyarupoham, shantoham prakriteh paraha, shashvatanandarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, tattvatita paratmaham, madhyatita parashivaha, mayatita paranjyotihi, ahamevahamavyayaha, nanarupavyatitoham, chidakarohamachyutaha, sukharupasvarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, mayatatkaryadehadi, mamanastyeva sarvada, swaprakashaikarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, gunatrayavyatitoham, brahmadinancha sakhyaham, anantanandarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, antaryamiswarupoham, kutasthasarvagosmyaham, paramanandaswarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, nishkaloham, nishkriyoham, sarvamadhyasanatanaha, aparokshaswarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, dvandvadisakshirupoham, achaloham sanatanaha, sarvasakshiswarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, prajnanaghanayevaham, vijnanaghanayevacha, akartaham abhoktaham, ahamevahamavyayaha, niradharaswarupoham, sarvadharahamevacha, aptakamaswarupoham, ahamevahamavyayaha, tapatrayavinirmukto, dehatrayavilakshanah, avastatrayasakshasmicha, ahamevahamavyayaha, drigdrishyaudhav padarthostah, parasparavilakshanav, drigbrahmadrishyam mayeti, sarvavedantadindhimah, aham sakshiti yo vidyat, vivichyaivam punapunaha, sayeva mukta so vidvan, iti vedanta dindhimaha, ghatakudyatikam sarvam, mrittika matramevacha, tadvad brahma jagat sarvam, iti vedanta dindhimaha, brahma satyam jagan mitya, jivo brahmaivanaparaha, anena vedyam satchastram, इति वेदांत ढिंडिमः अंतर्ज्योतिर् बहिर्ज्योतिः प्रत्यग्ज्योति परात्परः ज्योतिर्ज्योति स्वयं ज्योतिः आत्मज्योति शिवोम्यहम् ज्योतिज्योति स्वयं ज्योतिः आत्मज्योति शिवोम्यहम् ज्योतिज्योति स्वयं ज्योतिः आत्मज्योति शिवोम्यहम् Now we will go to the next Brahmanam called Shariraka Brahmanam. This is the fourth Brahmanam in the fourth chapter. So in the Swayamjyoti Brahmanam, Yajnavalkya discussed the nature of Atma, both at its lower level called Vyavaharika Swarupam and also in its Paramarthika Swarupam. So the Paramarthika Swarupam is self-effulgent, it is all-pervading, it is changeless, and it is called in short as Brahman. The Vyavaharika or the relative or empirical nature of Atma is that which obtains in Buddhi as Chidabhasa, Chaitanya Pratibhimba. So the Vyavaharika nature is relative, it is subject to plurality because many reflections are there, subject to modification, and it travels from one body to another. And the teacher loosely uses the word Atma in these two sections of Brihadaranyaka. When I say loosely used, it means sometimes the word Atma refers to the Paramarthika Swarupam, which is Brahman, or otherwise called Paramatma. And the same word sometimes used to indicate Atma's Vyavaharika Swarupam, or Chidabhasa Swarupam, otherwise called Jivatma. So this is to indicate that Atma is only one which appears in its lower form as Jiva and which is otherwise Brahman in its original form, nature. Therefore, when we read these two sections, if the context and the meaning are not clearly understood, this section will prove to be confusing. Sometimes Upanishad will say, Atma is apahata papma. That word, these are all words familiar to us. Apahata papma, free from punya papas, sukha dukkas. And the very same Upanishad will say, Atma travels after death. Therefore, it may appear to be contradictory. And the seeming contradictions can be what? It can be resolved only if we understand the empirical and absolute nature of Atma. Actually, in the Swayamjyoti Brahmanam, absolute nature of Atma was initially discussed. Yadvai tanna pasyati, pasyanvai tanna pasyati, nahi drashtur drashter, viparilopo vidyate avinashitvate, avinashitvat. So in all those mantras, the absolute nature is discussed. And later the teacher comes down to empirical nature of Atma, which travels after death along with Sukshma Shariram. It is this traveling Atma that is being discussed now. The Atma as Jivatma, Atma as Samsari. So this is stated in the Swayamjyoti Brahmanam from Sloka 34 onwards. We came to the empirical self known as Jivatma, but the Upanishad uses the word Atma only. That is why I want to remove the confusion. Therefore, Samsara Varnanam is the topic, and starting from Mantra 34 of the previous section that we just concluded, the same Samsara Varnanam continues in the fourth section also. Now let us read Mantra number 1 of fourth section. स यत्रायमात्मा अबल्यं नेत्य सम्मोहमिव नेति अतैनमेते प्राणमेते प्राणाः अभिसमायन्ति स एता तेजो मात्राः समभ्याददानः हृदयमेव अन्ववक्रामतीं स यत्रैष चाक्षुष पुरुषः पराङ् पर्यावर्तते अत अरूपज्ञो भवति So from the first mantra, we continue the samsara varnanam. In the last section which we just concluded, three examples were given, if you remember. The cart example, the moving cart, the fruit falling from the tree, and the king leaving and arriving in another city. So examples were discussed in detail at that time. So this was given at the end of the Swayamjyoti Brahmanam. And the same topic, samsara varnanam, continues, as I said here, in the fourth brahmanam also. It will continue up to the sixth mantra, 4.4.6. And there afterwards, the Upanishad or Yajnavalkya will talk about mukti. Videha mukti varnanam will be discussed. So Acharya asked the question as to why should Shastra discuss all about samsara. And he says it is for vairagya siddhyartham or for one to get vairagyam. Samsara is discussed in detail. We already saw that. So this fourth brahmanam, which we will see now, is called shariraka brahmanam. Shariraka brahmanam. Sharirakaha means jivatma. Shariram is the body. Shariram is that which obtains within the body. Sharire bhavaha shariraha jivatma. In Bhagavad Gita itself, you know, we call this, it was called by the name Dehi. And then shariraka, the ka at the end, the suffix, is added to indicate its limitation. Inferiority is indicated by adding the suffix ka. So shariraka means the miserable jivatma. Inferiority. Jiva is miserable because it is traveling. Samsaritvad. So with this background, now let us enter the fourth section of the fourth chapter. And the scene again is Marana Kalam, time of death. The death scene is brought in once, it's brought in once again here. And at the time of death, what happens? I am Atma Abalyam Netya. This Atma, Jivatma, the empirical Atma, Abalyam. Abalyam is the weakness of the body. Abalaha, abala bhavaha. Dourbalyam. At the time of death, it becomes very weak, this body. Netya. Netya means nischayena prapya. Maranakale, everyone becomes weak. Yatra, maranakale. At the time of death, one becomes extremely weak. And sammoham iva neti. He becomes almost unconscious. Aprajnaha. Asamgnaha. Asamgnaha means without him, doesn't know anything. So the person in his deathbed is unable to recognize many things. And the Upanishad says, uses the word iva. It should be repeated after abalyam also. Abalyam iva netya. Sammoham iva netya. So the iva indicates as though. So jivatma becomes unconscious or semi-conscious as it were. And why it is as it were? Shankara, iva. Shankaracharya writes very beautifully. Really speaking, atma is in its original nature is absolute consciousness. It is consciousness. Therefore, it does not go through any problem. And because of deha sambandha, it appears as though atma is going through all problems. Because it is said, I am atma. Atma does not have this problem. This weakness belongs to the body, mind, sense organs. But it appears as though Atma is weakening and all that. And then Atha. Atha means then. Yete pranaha abhisamayanti. Here prana. Prana includes sense organs also. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasma sapta archisas samida sapta homaha. We saw it in Mundaka. There prana refers to sense organs. Thus at the time of death, all pranas as well as the sense organs withdraw from their respective positions, which are called golakam, their functioning offices. So every organ has its sthanam, place, or its respective golakam. And from that sthanam, abhisamayanti, they come towards jivatma, they join jivatma. Abhimukhena samyak agachanti. Abhisamayanti. So abhimukhena samyak agachanti. And what does this jivatma do? Sa yetaha tejo matraha samabhyadadanaha. Samabhyadadanaha means this jivatma collects or withdraws all these sense organs unto itself. Adadana means taking back, withholding, withdrawing. Just like in an airplane, you know, when the plane lifts up, the wheels are withdrawn. Similarly, during vyavahara, sense organs come out to their respective golakas. Golakas means eyes, ears and all, the lobes, ear lobes. It goes to the golakas for functioning. And during marana kalam, the jivatma samyak abhitaha adadanaha, so grinnanaha, takes back. And what it takes back? Tejo matra. Matra means sense organs, as in the Bhagavad Gita also we saw that this word is familiar to us. Matras parshastu kamuteyam, shitoshnam, sukha dukkadaha. सो मात्रा मीन्स् मीयन्ते ज्ञायन्ते विषयाः अपि इति मात्राः. सो दट् इस् मा मीन्स् टु नो. सो त्रा मीन्स् इन्स्ट्रुमेण्ट्. सो नोयिङ्ग् इन्स्ट्रुमेण्ट् द सेन्स् आर्गन्स् दट् इस् मात्रा. सो वाट् टैप् आफ़् सेन्स् आर्गन्स्? तेजो मात्राः, द ब्रैट् शैनिङ्ग् सेन्स् आर्गन्स्. वै द सेन्स् आर्गन्स् आर् सच् बि ब्रैट्? We have to be careful. It does not mean it's in a dark room. This light is coming from sense organs. No. In Vedanta, word light means what? We already know. It has a figurative meaning. It is capable of making things known. That is called, anything that can make things known is called light. So from that angle, every sense organ is a light. Because it makes shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha known. Therefore, Tejo Matraha means bright sense organs. And where does the Jivatma go? Hridayam eva anvavakramati. The Jivatma comes to Hridayam, the heart, the physical heart. Always Shankaracharya makes it a point to write. It is the physical heart, the Golak. Heart is supposed to be the Mamsa Pindam, at the center where the mind rests. Therefore, it comes. So anvavakramati means agachati, it comes. Once Jivatma withdraws into the Hridayam, what happens to the Golakam of the sense organs? The Upanishad says, in the Golakams, two things are there. One is the Chakshur Indriyam, for example, in the eyes, the Adhyatma Amsha. And the other one is Devata Amsha. So power of Surya Devata is also there in the eyes, in the Golakam. We saw in already Mundaka Upanishad, we saw this mantra, Gataha Kalaha Panchadasha Panchadashaha Pratishtam Devascha Sarve Pratidevatasu. Devaha Pratidevatasu. There is a total devata and a part of that total power, both are there. For example, if you have a federal government, there will be a representative of the government also to sit in some committee. So Surya Devata Amsha is also there in the Golakam. And at the time of Maranam, the Indriyam joins the Sukshma Shariram, or Jivatma, and the Devata Amsha. So the part of the total Devata joins the Samashti Devata, or Surya Devata. And this Devata Amsha is referred to as Chakshusha Purushaha in this mantra. So Chakshur Devata Amshaha is equal to Surya Devata Amshaha. And what does he do? Parang Paryavartate. He turns back and goes back to Surya Devata. Thus, the seeing power is withdrawn at the time of death. And that is why in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also we saw that every action requires five factors. Adhishtanam tata kartha karanam cha pratakvidam vivida asya pratak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. So annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, all these four factors, they are required for functioning. Plus the fifth factor called Daivam factor, Daivam Chaivatra Panchamam, which is Tattat Adhishtana Devata Amshaha is required for functioning of all the organs. That Amsha is called Chakshusha Purushaha, eye blessing deity. Parang Paryavartate, he turns back. So what happens then? Atham Arupajnaha Bhavati. Rupajnanam, Rupajnana Rahitaha Bhavati. This person, this Jivatma is no more able to see forms, colors. Things are not clear. So eyes are like this at the time of death. Eyes don't see. And what happens to ears? Even ears don't hear. He loses the knowledge of forms, or hearing capability, all those. Then what happens? That is given in the next mantra. Yeki Bhavati na pasyati tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na jigrati tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na rasayati tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na vadati tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na shrunoti tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na manutai tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na sprishati tyahuhum. Eki bhavati na vijanati tyahuhum. Tasyaha etasyam kridayasyagram pradyotate. Tena pradyotena yesha atma nishkramati chakshushtova murdhnova anyebhyova sharirdeshebhyam tamutkramantam pranonutkramati pranamanutkramantam sarve prana anutkramanti savijnano bhavati savijnanamevam anvavakramati tam vidya karmani samanvarabhete purva prajnacha. I may take a couple of more minutes today to complete this sloka. So Yajnavalkya continues with the same description of samsara or maranam. Eki bhavati, becoming one. What becomes one and with what? I have said two things actually. Indriyam becomes one with the sukshma shariram jivatma. From where? From the godakam, from the eye. So indriyam is withdrawn to sukshma shariram. And the second one is the devata amsha. That becomes one with the adhishtana devata. So chakshur indriyam becomes the devata amsham of that. What is blessed by the Surya Devata goes back to Surya Devata. And once this takes place, what happens? Eki bhavati, becomes one with the subtle body. Na pashyati iti ahuhu. They all say, oh, he's not able to see. Dying man, he's not able to see. Eki bhavati, na jigrati iti ahuhu. He's not able to smell. Similarly, na rasayate iti ahuhu. He's not able to taste. Up to now, there's jnanendriyas. And now on karmendriyas, na vadati iti ahuhu, he does not speak. Na shrunoti iti ahuhu, he is not able to hear. I am saying, do you know me, do you recognize me? Nothing is heard. Na manute iti ahuhu, he is not able to think. Thinking faculty is gone. Na sprishati iti ahuhu, he is not able to touch. Na vijanati iti ahuhu, he is not able to know. People around him, they say all that. In short, all the sense organs gradually withdraw from their respective golakams and they stop their functioning faculty. And Acharya, he adds a clause here, it need not be in the order as it is said here. The withdrawal can be in any order. Any devata can withdraw the amsha anytime from any indriyam. Then the question comes, on what basis the devata will withdraw? Who is the controller? Who determines when the devata should withdraw? Should eyesight go first or hearing faculty goes first? Acharya writes, everything in life is determined by only one primary factor. We don't consider even Bhagavan as the primary factor. Bhagavan also cannot determine anything. And if he determines according to his plan, then he will also have raga-dvesha problem. Therefore, Bhagavan is also supporting cause only. Desha, kala are supporting causes. The only one primary cause is karma. Devatas function according to the karma of the jivatma. Don't ask, what about the first karma? We already answered the question some time ago. There is no question of first karma because it is anadi avidya vasanaya, anadi kala pravrittaha. It's a cyclic process. And therefore, no question of first karma. And therefore, according to karma, various devatas withdraws at various times. He loses all faculties. Jivatma comes to hridayam. Hridayam evam anvavakramati. Then what should this jivatma do? Since jivatma has no more functions in this body, it prepares to go to another body. How does the jivatma travel? It travels through various nadis. This also we have seen. How many nadis are there? Countless. And main nadis are 101. According to Kathopanishad, we already saw. Shatancha yekacha hridayasya nadyaha. Thasa murdhanam api nishrutaikha. Tayordvam ayan amrutattvam yeti vishvang anya utkramane bhavanti. Again, Kathopanishad. Besides the 101 nadis, there are many more nadis. All those nadis originate from the hridayam. That is why it is doubtful whether it is the brain. The Upanishad says that the heart is the center from where the nadis go. This jivatma will have to come out through one of these nadis only. Through which nadi he will come out? It will depend upon the type of janma or the type of loka the jivatma has to take. And therefore, jivatma comes near that particular nadi through which it has to travel. It is like there are many gates, for example. And before going out, we collect all our things and in the right gate or the left gate, we go near that gate. We go that particular gate to get out. Since jivatma is chaitanyam, wherever the jivatma goes, that place becomes bright as it were. With consciousness. And therefore the Upanishad says, Hridayasya agram pradyodate. The opening of the nadi is in the heart. Imagine a hall with many gates. And each gate will take a person outside. And at the time of leaving, you can go near any gate, any one of the gates. And this opening of the gate is called Hridayasya agram. Hridayam is like the hall. Agram is the opening part of the nadi. So nadi dwaram. And when jivatma is near that gate, that portion becomes bright. Pradyodate, vichidabhasa, the pradibimba chaitanyam. Tena pradyodena, through that bright portion of the nadi, which is bright because of the pradibimba chaitanyam, atma utkramati, the jivatma goes out. And what are the different gates available? Chakrushtahava, murdhanahava, murdhanahava. So either through the eyes, through the center part of the crown, head, the top of the head, through which the main Sushumna Nadi comes out. That is why some people say, before he died, oh, his eyes became very bright. We hear all these statements. Or anyebhyaha vam sharira deshebhyaha, or through any other part of the body, depending upon the karma. Not only that, tham utkramantam pranaha anutkramanti. When the jivatma travels, the prana also travels along with jivatma, because reflective medium and reflection cannot be separated. When prana travels, pranam anu utkramantam, sarve pranaha anu utkramanti. All the organs also go with it. That is jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, they all quit the body. And Acharya says that there is no question of any order or anything, because all the three will go together. They are inseparable based on the importance. The Upanishad gives some kind of an order. So jivatma is mukhyaha. Then prana goes, then sense organs goes. In that order, Upanishad has given. He says, sa vijnanaha bhavati. When marana kalam comes, old samskaras are revived, which will determine the next janma. Antakala smaranam will be revived. And the remembrance will depend upon our karma, our vasanas. If we have spent our entire life thinking like Jadaparadha, who thought about the deer, then the samskara will be a deer samskara, and janma also will be accordingly. Similarly, money, wealth, samskara, spouse, children, samskara, all that. Of all the samskaras, one is predominant and powerful. And not only samskaras, we have got many karmas. And of those also, some are predominant karmas to become the next prarabdha. Remember, karma does not ripen in the order of performance. At the time of maturity also, the same order need not be retained. Even if you do good karma first, you may get the phalam of bad karma earlier. Therefore, when prarabdha karma has to be determined, not only this janma is taken into account, but also the sanchita karmas are taken into account. And out of that, a particular prarabdha ripens. When? Not after maranam. At the time of maranam itself, the next prarabdha starts functioning in the jivatma, the sukshma shariram. Similarly, upasanas, vasanas, they also start ripening at the time of maranam. Therefore, the Upanishad says, the thoughts are there in the mind of a dying person, generated by the ripening prarabdha of the next janma. Starts producing thoughts in the mind. And therefore the Upanishad says, sa vijnanaha bhavati. Jivatma is full of knowledge with respect to the next janma. Bhavi deha sambandaha vijnanavan bhavati. The dying man is aware of the new body he takes in the next life. And Acharya says, this activation of thoughts is not determined by our will, because marana kale everything is withdrawn and broken. These thoughts are activated by the karma, upasana. And thus with that thoughts, he is very saturated at the time of death. That is why some people, like, without their knowledge, we say the dying man says so many things, but we do not understand. He was blabbering, whatever it is, we don't understand anything. He is saying so many things. Because it can be for two reasons. One, number one, we don't understand what thoughts are there going through in the dying man. And we also don't understand the words, because speech is not clear. So, sa vijnano bhavati. Not only that, sa vijnanam eva anvavakramati. It is with this knowledge that the jivatma quits this body. Knowledge means knowledge regarding bhavi janma. Bhavi janma means the future janma. So, three things follow the traveling jivatma. The famous quotation is coming actually. Shankaracharya quotes very often. What are the three factors? The famous line, tam vidya karmani samanvarabhete purva prajnacha. Vidya means upasana. Whatever one has been thinking of all through its the life predominantly. And then karmani, punya papa karmani. It is a dvandu samasa. Vidyacham karmacha. And samanvarabhete. Upasana and karma follow the jivatma. And the third factor is purva prajnacha, vasana, samskaras. So these three will travel along with him and take him to any of the 14 lokas. So this is Vidya, Upasana and all that thing, Karmani and all things, Samanvarabhate. So all those things, Puru Prajnacha, Vasanas. So he can go to any of the 14 lokas in the next Janma. He can take, may not be a human being or Deva, can be Pashu, Pakshi, according to karma. So we cannot order any of them at the time of Maranam, since we will not have free will. And what do we understand by all these? We will not have free will at the time of Maranam. So better we have noble karmas, noble upasanas, noble thoughts when we are young with free will. As the Lord said in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitah. Whatever thought occurs at the time of death will determine next janma. Therefore Krishna emphasizes, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Think of me all the time, more particularly at the time of death, and you will come to me. So the entire 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is based on this mantra alone. Tam vidya karmani samanvarabhaita purva prajnachaya. Very important line. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratipitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Sri Krishna arpanamastu narayana.